And welcome to More Than a Movie, a show about films and filmmaking here on Campus FM. My name's Andrew Bonello, and along with a guest I'll be welcoming onto the show very shortly, we'll take a journey into the magical world of movies. This week, we'll be humming along with several classic musicals to break your heart. Yes, that's right, we'll be touching Stylus to Vinyl on the soundtracks of several films with celebrated musical scores for a little trip down Melody Lane. See what I did there? Anyway, before we get to all that, let me begin by introducing our guest for this week. Steffi Thaik has a 10-year acting career in film, TV and theatre. She began with Christmas pantomimes, and in 2013, she was awarded Best Actress at the MADC's One Act Play Festival. Steffi later trained specifically in film acting at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, as well as Identity School of Acting. Among several performances, she featured in Michael Bay's 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, and she had a leading role in the local short film, Camilla. Well, hello, Steffi, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. So, Steffi, to start with, let's talk about what made you realize you wanted to be involved in film and performing. Do you remember the moment?
The moment. I don't think it was a moment. I was sent to St. Michael's School when I was younger. And there, some of my classes included drama and dance, and I did ballet as well for a long time. Okay. So from a very young age, I think from the age of 3, I was on stage performing, doing ballet and dancing. And then at the age of 10 or 11, we started drama lessons. And that's when I started to get into it. I had a number of teachers who, at the time, they were involved in the scene, and some of them still are.
Right.
So I started to get a feel of the stage from when I was 10, 11. Then I kind of took a break, as happens in life, you know. And a friend of mine, Nanette Bremer and Colin, her partner Colin Willis, mm-hmm. They approached me. They asked me to join their workshops that they were doing at the MADC. I joined them for a couple of workshops, and it rolled on from there.
Right, so kind of stage work, theatre work was kind of your initial focus,
yes.
In a way.
Yes, yes. I started in pantos, which is where a lot of people start,
sure.
In Malta.
Right.
You get to know a lot of people, everybody gets to know you, and, you know, kind of snowballs from there. And eventually you start doing Shakespeare plays, you get to know the people in the television and the film industries, and mm-hmm. It kind of, you know, it grows.
And do you remember your transition into film here in Malta? What was your first role, or where did you begin?
My first role in film, I want to say that I think it was on Chris Zarp's Doremifa.
Okay. That was a short film?
No, that was
a feature
film.
Okay.
It was a very small role, but I'd known Chris as well for a long time. We went to higher secondary together, and I can't remember how I got to, I think I might have emailed him.
Right.
I can't remember how mm-hmm. I got onto that film. But there was a period of time where I was talking to people and asking them how I could progress. And they were pushing me into different directions, mm-hmm. to speak directly to directors, local directors, producers, and so on. And then the casting directors for the larger films like Michael Bay's 13 Hours. So I did a lot of networking on my own, sending emails, contacting people. That's how I...
Which presumably led to conversations, auditions, tapings.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically.
And is that a process you enjoy, the speaking, you know, reading for a role and getting through? Yeah,
absolutely. I think that auditions are an amazing way to perform, even just for a short while,
mm-hmm.
to one-on-one, you know. It's a performance in and of itself.
Right. And you probably get a feel for the producer, the director,
yes.
what they're trying to make,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the feeling of the project.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Interesting. Okay. So tell me about some of your other film work here. Is there a local production you've been involved in that you're really proud of, excited about?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the short film Camilla that you mentioned before, that's, I think, is one of my favorite pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, there hasn't been very much in terms of film, but this one is close to my heart, and I really enjoyed working with Stephanie Sant, who directed, and she co-wrote with Theodore Relic as mm-hmm. well, and Martin Bonici yes. produced it. He's fantastic, and I got to work with him again directing his latest feature, Istrie Prejalsaru Velenuzi, which I'm very excited to watch. I can't wait till it's out. It's not out yet. But yes, Camilla, I got to work with Irene Christ, and she is amazing.
Okay.
I think the whole process, I mean, even just for me being so prominent in a film, it was a first for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I've had experience on set and so on, it was a first for me to be so featured.
Great. So you've sounds like a lot's happening. You're very active in some of the bigger local productions here.
Luckily, yes.
That's great. So let's talk about this. If you had a choice about a role you would perform, what kind of a film would you most like to, say, have a leading role in, a feature film? What kind of a film would it be?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't know. I mean, I have thought about the different kinds of roles I would love to play, but I think I'm more drawn by the story as well, the story of a person. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, even if it's the story of someone who did wrong, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't have to be some heroine.
Mm-hmm.
Just, people have stories to tell, and I want to be the conduit, if that makes sense.
So it's more about, less about the role and your particular characteristics, and more about telling a story that you think is going to be really deeply meaningful for the audience.
Absolutely. Right. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, how you feel about it, but I think that's one of the reasons why we're here.
I'm totally the same. I feel like film is so many things to so many people, but story really, I think, is the thing that binds it all together. So
particularly the stories of people who are not so popular. I think that everybody has a story, and a story that will resonate with somebody in the audience. Mm-hmm. And there are the classic, oh, boy meets girl stories, and there are the classic, oh, triumph stories. Mm-hmm. But then there are those which are strange mm-hmm. and interesting, and, oh, I would never have thought that somebody goes through that kind of thing.
Mm.
Particularly, I think that's what drew me in as well with Machination, that I just finished working on, that you worked on with me as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan and Sarah's from Nexus Production, their production, they just finished filming. We just finished filming it here. And the concept on that, the story of the woman who we're portraying.
That's a story related to a woman who's struggling with her mental health during a pandemic sort of scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
I think mental health issues are really important to talk about because they're so stigmatized.
Yes, absolutely.
I am always on board with that stuff, always.
Great. Okay, well, so Steffi, today's theme is about musicals that break the heart.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask, do you have a musical that's particularly fond and close to your heart?
I do.
Which one is it?
It's The Lion King.
It's the circle.
The Lion King. He was born to rule.
This'll all be mine?
Everything the light touches.
Wow.
But a shadow lies over the kingdom.
I will be king. Run away and never return.
No! If you ever come back, we'll kill you!
So, the Disney epic The Lion King. In a nutshell, why did you love this film so much?
Oh, man. I mean, why wouldn't you love this film? It's amazing. It's got everything. Everything. There's love, there's drama, there's tension, there's comedy, there's everything, and it's amazing. And there's animals. Who doesn't love animals?
Right. And animation, right? It's all animated.
I think the thing that makes animation amazing is the ability to resonate with adults as well, you know, because this is a timeless piece that kids love and adults will love as well.
Great. Yes, fantastic film. Thank you for that, Steffi. So if people want to find out a little bit more about your work, is there somewhere they can go online?
Yes, I have a personal portfolio. It's www.steffythake.com. Hmm? And you can also follow me on social media. I have Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Great. Well, there we go, guys. Steffi Thake, all the very best of luck to you with your film work. We hope to be seeing more of your work on a big screen near us very soon here in Malta.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Now then, what about musical movies that were shot here in Malta? Well, we've mentioned it on the show before, of course, but the one that immediately springs to mind is Robert Altman's 1980 film Popeye, which recounts the adventures of the famous sailor man and his friends in the seaside town of Sweethaven.
I'm Popeye, the sailor, and I am what I am, what I am, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am, because I am what I am. You got it?
I think so, yeah.
And I've got a lot of money, but I only got one eye, and I never hurt nobody, so I never tell a lie.
Yes, you might not have been aware, but this Popeye film was a musical, having several songs interspersed throughout the narrative. And Robin Williams, playing the eponymous sailor, actually sings in character as the one-eyed, spinach-chomping, pipe-sucking mariner. Although in this version, he's actually rather reluctant to eat spinach until force-fed by the film's comically mean villain, Bluto. Now, the character of Popeye became celebrated through the mainly black-and-white cartoon series produced by Fleischer Studios between 1933 and 1942. There were 108 cartoon episodes in total, so yes, this was actually a pre-World War II character. And if you've not seen this 1980 movie version, it may have escaped you what an oddity this movie actually is in terms of Hollywood filmmaking. It was a co-production between Paramount and Disney at a time when there was a lot of interest in comic book and superhero adaptations in Hollywood, especially given the success of Richard Donner's landmark film Superman, starring Christopher Reeve, which had been released just 2 years earlier in 1978. But the somewhat unusual decision was made to have Popeye directed by Robert Altman, an auteur filmmaker who even back then was firmly establishing a style that could best be described as individualistic. Several of his movies were so elliptical and inaccessible in terms of narrative and dialogue that even Altman's supporters were often left scratching their heads. And sure enough, that unique cinematic signature of Altman is in abundant evidence here in Popeye. It's rife with his customary visual eccentricity and dense, difficult-to-understand dialogue. Some of the lyrics sung by the performers seem to have quite literally been mumbled. It's strange, genre-banjaxing stuff indeed. Curiously enough, the movie is often dismissed as a turkey nowadays. Note from the editor, shouldn't that be a wet kipper? But in fact, Popeye's critical reception at the time, while somewhat mixed, was largely positive. And interestingly, this was Robin Williams' first full feature film performance, which had come off the back of his huge success in the TV show Mork and Mindy. So this was still some considerable time before Robin Williams was well established as an A-list movie star. But his odd gestures and characterization of Popeye seemed to fit with the rest of the movie's rather insistent unconventionality. Well, ultimately, it may not quite be a heartbreaker of a musical, but nonetheless, if you've visited the preserved Popeye film set in Malta's northern region, but not yet seen the rather bizarre film that was actually shot there, then why not give Popeye a toot of the old horn, eh?
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Well, it's now time to venture beyond the shores of our hallowed Isles of Malta as we discover classic musicals to break your heart. And our first film today is the wonderful 1961 crime drama musical West Side Story. Two youngsters from rival New York City gangs, the Jets and the Sharks, fall in love. But interracial and social tensions between their respective friends build toward heartbreak and tragedy. Now, you may be aware that Steven Spielberg is working on a remake of this wonderful movie, currently slated for a 2021 release. Let's hope we do get to see that film later this year or very soon thereafter. Spielberg, of course, is arguably one of the greatest directors working today, but what a film he is trying to live up to here. The 1961 movie, directed by Jerome Robbins and Robert Wise, is a powerful blend of genres and styles. This, quite apart from the unforgettable music and dance numbers that form the movie's backbone. And despite essentially being a crime romance, there's plenty of comedy and memorable character work here, including, of course, a very special policeman.
Dear kindly Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand. Our mothers all are junkies, our fathers all are drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks.
Gee, Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get.
It's hard to overstate the quality of this production, which takes us from the blacktop basketball courts of New York City streets, into the dance halls of the schools, onto the rooftops of the tenement apartments, and back to the streets again. It's an amazingly staged, dazzlingly performed ensemble piece, and the music is, of course, the work of Leonard Bernstein.
A small fee in America.
Buying on credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
The film stars Natalie Wood as Maria in a famous role, and though she didn't get awards recognition herself, the film won a staggering 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Film Editing.
With suns and moons all over the place. Tonight, tonight, the world.
And once again, the less revealed about plot here, the better. But keep a box of tissues by your side. I confound you to finish watching this movie with a dry eye. It's superb, heart-wrenching filmmaking from the old school of Hollywood's finest. Themes here include how love transcends ethnicity and a spotlight on the fierce power of blind prejudice. So anyone here in Malta who's involved in stage or screen work of a musical bent, especially our younger listeners, if you haven't yet seen West Side Story, then settle down with your loved ones and friends for a textbook exercise in 101 musical production that, quite frankly, still remains peerless to this day.
And what was just a word is a star to guide.
We move a few years forward to 1968 now for our second heartbreaking musical, and it's Oliver, based on the 1960 stage musical of the same name, of course derived from Charles Dickens' classic novel Oliver Twist, which was written all the way back in 1838. Our young hero, residing in a wicked orphanage, angers the beadle, Mr. Bumble, in a simple show of assertiveness. Oliver is sold to a mortician in Victorian London town as punishment, but he runs away, meeting a group of boys trained to be pickpockets by an elderly mentor.
Lisa, I want some more.
More?
Oliver features a raft of famous performances. Harry Secombe is in fine vocal form as the bellowing Mr. Bumble, and there's a powerful breakout role by Shani Wallace as Nancy. We have the infamous Artful Dodger, played here by child actor Jack Wilde, and Ron Moody gives a charming, charismatic turn as the grinning, mischievous father figure Fagin, and he actually received an Oscar nomination for this performance.
I'm leaving you.
situation. Can a fella be a villain all his life?
But perhaps most famously of all, we have a searing, intimidating turn from the infamous Oliver Reed. Yes, that same actor who famously died of a heart attack, no less, during the filming of Ridley Scott's movie Gladiator, here in Malta back in 1999. But here in his role as Bill Sykes, Oliver Reed is nothing less than fearsome in a brutal, wide-eyed and wicked role.
Have you ever heard the sound a chicken makes when they're ringing off its neck? Can't say I ever had them. They squawk, swaying. They squawk.
Well, this classic film won 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director. And though in essence it's a sweet childhood story of self-discovery and newfound parentage, it's amazing what a dark, grim fairy tale this really is. The sets are dank and moody, and several of the non-musical scenes are very brutal and sad, in particular those involving our antagonist, Bill Sykes. Themes include how the pure of heart ultimately rub off on the world around them. This is a cruel film in many ways, but all the more powerful for it. Do take a look if you haven't yet discovered this diamond in the rough of Hollywood's musical filmography. Finally for today then, we move on to 1982 for John Huston's musical comedy drama Annie. It's based on a 1977 Broadway musical of the same name, which itself in turn was based on the Little Orphan Annie comic strip created by Harold Gray. So in essence, we actually have a comic character adaptation here, and rather like Oliver, our protagonist is once again a rather hapless orphan. And though they share that plot backbone and a musical DNA, the films Oliver and Annie really couldn't be more different. The dark, dank corners of Oliver's olden-day London street life are, in Annie, replaced with bright Manhattan mansions, illustrious theatres, and expansive boulevards. Despite being set almost 100 years ago and filmed some 40 years ago, this film still somehow manages to feel dazzlingly modern. Our eponymous little heroine this time takes to the streets of 1933 Depression-era New York City, making new friends, but also encountering a plethora of nasty, duplicitous characters in her search for a home to call her own.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us. Stand a treat and we get tricked. Stand a kiss and we get kicked. It's the hard knock life.
Well, it's hard to overstate the touching sincerity of this story, anchored as it is by a brave and sweet central performance by child actress Aileen Quinn as Little Annie. But she's ably supported here by several strong adult performances, including the late great Albert Finney, who takes on a brave singing role as the initially heartless business tycoon, Daddy Warbucks.
I'm a businessman. I love money, I love power, I love capitalism. I do not now and never will love children.
Blow it out your old wazoo.
I might learn to like her. Hang her in my bathroom.
Oh my goodness.
Really, this is some of Albert Finney's finest work from an already amazing filmography. Perhaps even more memorable, though, is Carol Burnett's superb role as the eternally tipsy Miss Hannigan, the bitter old spinster who runs the orphanage where Annie and her friends are trapped.
We love you, Miss Hannigan.
Shut up.
Where's Annie?
She had to go bathroom.
She had to go bathroom.
Little girls, everywhere I turn, I can see them.
Annie. Lincoln, lizards!
Lincoln, lizards!
This is breathtaking comedy acting by Burnett. Sensationally fun stuff. Another name making a strong show here is Tim Curry as Rooster. You might recognize Curry's name. He's performed in a long list of TV and film productions over the years, including as the creepy clown Pennywise in the 1990 TV series adapted from Stephen King's book It. This not to be confused with the 2016 feature film of the same name. But here in Annie, Tim Curry is on delightfully mischievous form.
Is this tree?
Is this tree?
Well, Annie was remade in a 2014 version starring Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz, which, it has to be said, received somewhat lukewarm reviews. So I heartily recommend that you begin with the original 1982 film version. Thematically about the plight of young people seeking a home in a heartless world, it's a blazingly large-scale production with several huge film sets. Annie will warm the cockles of your heart and then some, and once again, you'll be hard-pressed to go the distance in this movie with a dry eye.
The tennis court is in the rear.
I never even picked up a racket. I think I'm gonna like it.
I didn't want to be just another orphan, Mr. Warbucks. I wanted to believe I was special.
You are special. Never stop believing that.
So, what did you think of the movie selection in our show? Did we make you think of some worthy classic musicals to break your heart? Did the suggestions today convince you to seek out and watch one of the films that was mentioned? If so, we'd love to know what you thought of it. For all that or any other feedback, suggestions and questions, please email us at morethanamovieqs@gmail.com. That's morethanamovieqs, all one word, @gmail.com. This More Than a Movie episode was written and presented by Andrew Bonello. A big thank you to our guest, Steffi Thake, for joining us today, and also, of course, to our tuneful sound engineer today, Jordi De Bono. The intro music was Creepy Comedy, and the outro is Inspiring Teaser, both by Raphael Crux at filmmusic.io. The clips are licensed under creativecommons.org version 4. Thanks for listening, and I do hope you'll join us again next week on More Than a Movie, when we'll be exploring crime dramas that let you decide.